Jillian Barbary and John Phillips make great passengers on your drive home, but keep in mind you're still riding solo in the carpool.
Ah, damn it.
It's the Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips.
And a very happy Martin Luther King Day to you in the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Studios. Jillian Barbary, John Phillips here until 6, and oh boy, do we have a treat for you.
Sure, it's a treat. Are you positive?
We have Dorothy Lucy in the studio. It's our first time together in 4.5 years. Dorothy, what's new?
Since I saw you last?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, honey.
So much to talk about.
Do we have stuff to talk about?
I don't know. It seems like everybody around us was talking about it. I go, maybe we should talk about what's happening around us. It's been long enough.
Excellent idea. It's good to see you.
Mm. It's great to see you as I take a sip of my coconut water. How have you been?
Oh, you're so damn healthy now.
No, I'm not. You're so damn skinny. Are you not eating?
Okay, I became you. I stopped eating carbs. How long did you tell me stop eating carbs? I finally listened.
Well, I started. So when you stopped, I decided to start, and I haven't looked back.
Plus, I'm doing dry January, or at least, you know, dry a few days in January.
Okay,
that's
well,
known
that's
as dark January here.
That's very dark January. That's why we haven't hooked up since then. I mean, that's just, you've got it. Once you start back on the wagon, then we can go out for lunch and really talk about things.
Does John know that you and I, now, Jillian and I have a history of being friends and then enemies and then frenemies and all of the above, but when we were really good friends, we used to go out drinking at like 9 a.m.
Absolutely.
Ooh, was that mimosa time or was that white wine time?
It was boxed wine.
You know, maybe a Bloody Mary and then into the wine. But I mean, you know, we were done with work and it was 9 a.m.
And it was Kathy Leonhoda before Kathy Leonhoda.
You know what? It's funny that you say that because he always brings up the fact that they have Chardonnay and I go, you know, that's kind of how we used to be.
And we didn't drink on the air that often, which is surprising to people who watched us.
Yes. But they always thought we did. And we're like, no, that's just how we are. But there were so many years, it was almost 20 years of love, hate, friendship, family, right? Back and forth.
Cats, dogs, babies.
Always, but the same anchor man, always Steve Edwards. And I feel so lucky that we had almost 20 years with him. And in the past 4 years, I don't know how you feel about it, but I've seen a revolving door, and it makes me, at first I still haven't really watched it. I don't know about you.
No, I cannot watch. The first time I attempted to watch was what was supposed to be your last day, and then, you were already gone. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I made you spit out your coconut water.
But does that not tell you everything about that place?
Because I'm sure it was Twitter, told me that it was your last day. So I'm like, okay, I have to man up and watch Jill's last day. And I'm like, oh, Jill's gone. Okay.
Maybe that was yesterday.
They did everything a little differently there. And there was no, it's funny because you know everybody in the business and you're really good friends with people at KTLA and David Goldstein, who's your husband who works at
KCBS. Yeah, we're not such good friends. We're married.
Oh, I know how that goes. But you know a lot of people in the business. And I found that when I went over to KTLA for just like a hot second, they were saying goodbye to Michaela. And I was
And they actually said goodbye.
Oh my God,
had
Dorothy.
A big party.
Dorothy, I remember I was taping this show on the side and they had all these tents outside. And I said, oh my gosh, who's coming? The president? And they go, oh no, Michaela's leaving to go to CNN. And we're throwing her a surprise party. And we flew in her family.
Well, when you and I left, it was sort of a surprise, but.
But not like that.
Although you brought me champagne. You brought the party on my last day.
Let me tell you, I remember thinking, are they not going to mention the elephant in the room? And that's not because you were eating carbs back then. You were still skinny.
I was bigger.
Are they not going to say anything? And I thought, this is just bloody
and, you know,
wrong.
I didn't know what to do. I mean, we still had 3 hours of live TV. I'd just been fired.
Did they tell you that morning?
No. I had known for about maybe 2.5 weeks. And I knew when people started to know because I started to get the sad eyes from people. But I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know. It was crazy. Am I supposed to talk about it? Am I supposed to cry about it? I'm going to cry about it if I talk about it. I just didn't know what to do.
Right.
And so we're sitting there, and I think it was my last day, and finally, or maybe it was the day before, and Jill's like, in a nice way, she said, well, you know, since you've been fired, should we talk about it?
I was just like, you know, how do you, and then of course the same thing happened to me and they don't want to ever admit it, but just sort of acknowledge it.
I love that we can laugh about it.
I know. I couldn't for the longest time and very much like
you. No, me either.
I cried for her. I remember changing Rocco's diapers and just having like so many tears in the diaper and thinking this is never going to this is horrible. Like, we helped organize this party that we got kicked out of, and I could not wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I sat on my bathroom floor for a couple of weeks sulking, doing the sort of Nancy Kerrigan, why me?
Yeah, me too. I remember thinking, and my marriage was falling apart at the same time, thinking, well, I thought I was a good host, and I thought I was a good wife, but then you get fired, and you get divorced, and you go, well, maybe I'm going to be George Costanza, and I'm going to do everything the opposite. But like you, I did the
same
thing.
I love George Costanza. I know. My husband still watches Seinfeld, like, nightly.
I don't know.
We were a little bitter, but I think bitter played well then.
I think so.
It was honest.
What
bitter
did you say
fun.
About, tell Dorothy what Suzanne Summers, who he's very good friends with, used to say about us. Go ahead.
Suzanne Summers said that when you two got along, it was good. When you two fought, it was fantastic, and you couldn't take your eyes off it.
She used to say to me, yeah, it's good when you get along. When you don't, it's good TV.
And
I adore her.
Do you think that... I look at so much television now that's sort of the housewives and the this and that, and they're...
I know, we were fighting on TV ahead of our time.
Absolutely. I feel like we were the original, and I feel like people acknowledge that, and it makes me feel happy, but I couldn't admit that in the very...
Steve used to say we were the first reality show.
Yeah, yeah.
And Steve was like an empty nester.
I think for Steve, it was... Steve, it was survival of the fittest, and he tried to do the best he could through the revolving door of hosts and co-hosts, but I don't know that it was ever the same for him. I'm sure it was not. I mean, I know it wasn't, because they have never found the fit, and he's...
We were the love of his life.
Obviously. Obviously.
I believe
okay,
that
maybe,
to be true.
Maybe the wife,
Gene,
but...
Yes.
But then us.
Just
but you know,
Utah.
Well, maybe the kids and then us.
What tells you a lot about Dorothy, I was approached by a high profile lawyer who said, you know, you guys have a lawsuit here. And I was like, I didn't know about. I was like, I don't know. And I don't know if I want to go down that road. And my agent at the time said, if you go down that road, you'll never work again. He just blatantly said it. He's like, you'll never work again. Nobody wants a woman, you know. And this lawyer said, well, you and Dorothy Lucy and Jean Martirez are all over 45. This happened to you within 4 months, all of you. We can get settlements. And I was like,
we were idiots.
Well, I called Dorothy and I called
Jean. And I talked her out of it. I'm an idiot.
Well, because I was like, you guys, they're saying that. But I do believe, you know, we wouldn't look like we do now. Now we've left and we never asked for anything. And we were so unceremoniously kicked out of our party. And I think people see that, and they know that we didn't take payouts, and that's the loyalty of viewers. And they've always sort of held Fox's feet to the fire because of that. I really believe that.
And I felt too, for one thing, you're going to write a book one day. I'm going to write a book one day. You want to own your own life. You want to own your own story.
Yep.
And also, do you want to spend 3 years in and out of court?
Exactly.
You know, is that?
No, I don't.
And
then,
bad energy.
And then my husband was like, really? How much money do you think we can get?
But the temperature in the room was very different then than it is now.
Oh,
now
yeah.
Everyone's coming forward,
oh,
and people are looking at accusers or people who have been wronged in some capacity in a very different light than they did back then.
I know. Now I look at these people who are getting $100,000, and I'm like, that's all you got? Come on.
Well,
how about a couple of million?
Let me ask you this. Did you see, I remember the first one I read was Gretchen Carlson. I think she got $20 million, and I was like, for turning around and showing off her dress, I'm like, oh my God, I could have been a gazillionaire. Do you think, and this sort of brought us back together in the sense that when everything went down and Steve's name was brought into it, Steve Edwards, of course, either you reached out to me or I don't recall who reached out to who first.
Well, you and I were talking that morning,
oh,
which was crazy.
God. OMG. We went on Twitter. So people thought we knew something before
yes.
we did. That's the irony. You're 100% right.
We knew nothing.
We knew nothing. And we just happened to connect about something, and we put it out on Twitter, and then that day or the next day it happened. And I remember...
No, it was like 20 minutes later.
Was it?
It was crazy.
And I remember saying to you, he's never been untoward with me. I don't know if... And you're like, no. And so I was like, okay.
Oh, my God.
And that's
no.
why I thought it was some... No, absolutely not. So that made me think, well, maybe it's something different. I can't imagine him being like that. So.
And I also think you and I are, let me think of the right word, playful.
Yes.
I mean,
in a good way.
It takes a lot to offend me.
Me too.
Apparently not everyone is like that.
I guess not. But don't you think also, Dorothy, it's now with this, like John, you were saying, this moment, this movement of, and I stand behind people that have been, there's no question.
Well, yeah, obviously they're your Al Franken's and there are your Harvey Weinstein's.
Correct.
And there's
a delineation.
There is. But I will also say that Dorothy, and I shouldn't speak for you. I was never.
Ah, go ahead. She always did.
I was never intimidated by Steve, and I don't think you were intimidated.
Of course not.
So we had fun with him. I think what happened after both Dorothy and
I think he was a little intimidated by you sometimes.
You think? Well, he thought I was a loose cannon.
The mood of the day.
Maybe. And there were many moods. I was more moody than a mood ring. But I think at the end of the day, the people that came in, and I'm not circling anyone out in specifically or pointing anyone out, but I think there was this, Daddy, love me, love me. No, love me. I'm better. Look, I can do this. And I think that must have been exhausting for him. I don't know.
And we were like, Steve, get me some coffee.
Grab me one of Josh's bagels.
God. And you know he liked it, though. He did. I'm convinced of it. But
Steve will always say, I said way worse stuff to you guys than I ever said to any of those other people.
Oh, yeah. It's so true. And we probably said way worse to him. But, you know, I did. You said something that really rang true for me when we were speaking on the phone privately. You said, you know, would it have been nice to have somebody go to bat for us? It would have been. I mean, it would have been really nice. And I know
the audience did. Because the audience actively punished.
That's so true, and that's such a nice thing of you to say.
Yeah.
And it absolutely is true, because every time we go out and do a public event, what is it that the first thing that they say to you? We miss you on Good Day LA.
Yeah.
It hasn't been the same since you, Dorothy, left.
Yeah,
people say that to me every day.
Every day. And you know what's
and it's
funny?
It's really sweet.
It really helped me in the very beginning, and I don't know about you, but in the very beginning, it felt so good to hear that. And then after about a year or two, when people would say it, I was like, please don't talk about it anymore, because my feelings were so hurt the way things went down. And I just couldn't wrap my head. I was like, I moved on. I want to talk about it. And I went through another metamorphosis where now I'm at a point where I think we've been gone long enough where it's sort of like, yeah, okay, that's really nice to hear again. Yeah. And
it is. It's sweet. And people will come up to me sometimes with tears in their eyes.
Yeah.
Like they feel like we raised them.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did.
We probably did a bad job of it, but I think we raised them.
Do you get, I know you do. They'll say, oh my God, I grew up watching you and da da da. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice. And you know, so they're like, oh, I'm 40. Yeah. I was watching when I was 15 or 14. And I'm like, I'm sorry. What? And that's how it was. So, you know, I mean, we sort of created that fun morning for them. And when it's gone, it's gone. And it must have been weird for them.
I guess so.
I don't know if I've ever asked you how they told you. I'll tell you how they told me. It was a very strange moment. But how were you told that
I always remember changing? Because, John, as I'm sure you well know, Jill and I were both fired twice there. I always remember the first time you were fired. And they took you out to lunch and you paid for lunch, which I could never understand.
She made that point, and now I look back, and I'm like, damn, she's good. I did. I was like, gentlemen, I've got this. That was when they fired us from
the
National Day
Show.
Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they replaced us with Arthel Neville and Debbie Matenopoulos, and we would literally, Dorothy and I would do the 7 to 9. We were the warm-up act for the big act that we helped create, and then we'd have to pack our little bags up and leave, and they would come in. It was so weird.
It had to be awkward.
They screwed us twice over there, and we did it. We took it. I mean, we did what we did, and how about this? My agent at the time, John Farriter, represented Debbie, too. So he probably said to them, all right, well, let's get rid of Jillian, and I can get you Debbie Matenopoulos for super cheap, because I rep her, too. But Good Day LA...
So it was a little meeting with the general manager, the news director, and the HR person, which I'd never been to HR, didn't know where the door was.
Yep.
I thought it was hilarious that they had somebody there from HR, like I was going to throw a table or something, which now I so wish I had. But it was about a 2-minute meeting, and they wanted me to say I was leaving, you know, to spend more time with my family. My son's like, please, will you leave me alone, for God's sakes? Do not spend any more time with me.
I'm not
too
down with that statement, Mom, at all.
For the love of God, don't spend any more time with us. That was my family's reaction. And so I said, you know what? It's probably ridiculous, because who publicly says, yeah, I was fired? But I just didn't want to lie, because our show had never been a lie.
Absolutely. I felt the same way. They did the exact same thing to me, took me upstairs, and it was the same people and HR. And I walked in and I said, wow, I've never been in here before. And they said, well, that's a good sign. And I was like, I was so dumb. Like, I was like, wow. And then I thought, oh, this is happening. And they said, we're going in a different direction. And I was like, what? What do you mean? I don't understand.
What? North, south? What?
What are you talking about? And they said, no, what we would have you do is, if you'd like, you could do 2 or 3 days in the field. And then.
That's, oh, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Actually, that came later. That call came later. They let me go. And then I got a call from Kingsley Smith, was his name. And he said, what we're going to do is, we want to have you in the field a couple of days a week, and we'll pay you well, and you can do whatever you want. And I remember sitting on the phone thinking, and I said, well, who's going to sit in the chair I occupied for 20 years? And he said, well, we can't tell you that. And it's going to happen on Monday. And it was a Thursday. And I remember hanging up the phone and I said, this is not going to happen. And I quit on Twitter. Quit. They forced me out. And I remember my agent calling saying, oh my God, what did you just do? And I said, what did I do? What did they do? He said, they put you in the publicity statement saying that you were going to be a special correspondent. And I said, no,
very special.
Yeah, very special.
Get
from
out
our
the
house.
Whiteout. All right, more coming up. We have the one and only Dorothy Lucy in studio.
Studio complaining, apparently.
No.
Happy Martin Luther King Day. More coming up in minutes on The Drive Home, 790 KABC. And we continue on The Drive Home. 800-222-KABC is the telephone number, 1-800-222-5222.
Well, as the new year begins, KABC is teaming up with your Amazon Echo and Dot. All you have to do is say, Alexa, enable KABC AM skills, and it'll make your listening to us here at KABC so much more evolved and easier in 2018. All right, we're here in studio with Dorothy Lucy. I have so many questions. We were talking about our almost 20 years together on the morning show. When everything changed, how did you settle into, it took me about a year to settle into life, not getting up and being on TV. I was like jarred. How long did it take you? Because you had so many other things going on, charitable things that you were doing, mending kids was a big, big thing for you.
Did you
jump right into that, or what did you do?
I took 6 trips around the world volunteering on medical missions. So yeah, I think I was trying to distract myself a little bit.
That'll do it.
And it works. And if you can, you know, if you can distract yourself and save the world at the same time, what the hell? I think, okay. And this is sitting here now looking back.
Yeah.
Because as I said, I did have my Nancy Kerrigan, why me moments whining in the bathroom as soon
me
as my
too.
Son was at school and my husband was at work, I'd go shut the bathroom door. I don't know why I was home alone, why I would shut the door, but I would shut the door. Maybe so the dog wouldn't see me cry. I don't know. I didn't want to upset the dog. But in retrospect, after a couple of months of sulking and whining, I did finally realize, and I like to look for the gift because no matter what the crap is, there's always some sort of a gift. And I realize now, I was a helicopter mom. And I was lucky that I had a job where I could be a helicopter mom. I could still spend a lot of time with my son because basically Jill and I only work 3 hours a day.
3 hours a day. The greatest mom job in the world.
Great gig.
No doubt about it.
But I realized that I was home the entire time that my son was in high school. So I was home every morning. I drove him to school. I made him breakfast. And I think if he had gone to college and I had never made him breakfast on a school day, if I had never driven him to school, I would have had a total breakdown.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a gift.
Yeah.
But I say that now. That's months after giving myself therapy.
Yes. I think that's
years,
the way it
actually,
works.
That's a healthy way of looking at the world, though, where everything happens for a reason and you find the silver lining in every cloud.
And it took a while.
It takes. Oh, yeah. For
but
sure.
I did eventually
but
find it.
But if you think about it, we did almost 20 years. And okay, so it takes a year to grieve it. But I said the same thing to you. I said I've been able to have mornings where I drive my kids to school. So you're like, oh, I would never have been able to have this. So we're lucky.
More coming up on The Drive Home. Dorothy Lucy joins us in studio. Right now, it's time for headlines. And we're back on The Drive Home, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Jillian Barbary, John Phillips here until 6 o'clock in the p.m.
Dorothy, we touch basically and loosely on everything that's happening now with the Me Too. And you and I had the same reaction about Steve. Like, did not happen to me, did not happen to you. He was always a father figure. Or grandfather for us. What did you think?
Great grandfather. He was great. Great grandfather.
What did you think about? And you know Ann Curry. Ann.
I worked with Ann at Channel 2 for a long time.
She worked with her. So when the whole Matt Lauer thing went out, the audience kind of turned on him a little bit because of Ann Curry. I remember she was sort of unceremoniously put out. And
right around the same time we were.
I know.
And that kiss was so awkward.
She turned in
for the kiss.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's hard to fake it, and I know you know this. Like on television, it's sort of like when everything happened with us, they weren't going to say anything. And it's like, well, but we were, my favorite was when they did the 20-year look back at Steve's career at Good Day LA, and we were 17 years of that, and they cut us out of every, and I talked to one of the producers, they said, oh no, it was mandated. Jillian and Dorothy will not be in any clips.
I have to say that opened the wound a little bit. It tore a little bit of the scab off.
For me, exactly. And I woke up that morning and I was kind of getting over everything at that point and moving on and not thinking about it. My Twitter feed.
And I turned the show on that day. That's the only other time I turned the show on.
Just randomly?
No, I knew it was happening. And my husband said to me, David Goldstein, who's apparently a smart person, said to me, why are you putting that on? And I said, well, it's 20 years of Steve. And he's like, do you really think they're going to mention you?
David knows the business.
Maybe they might.
I didn't turn it on. My Twitter feed was loaded up. People saying, well, this is outrageous. And I'm like, yeah, it's outrageous. What's happening? And I started to look at the, and I thought, is this possible? They didn't put us in any, we were in 17 of those 20 years and they cut us out. So I messaged one of the producers and she hesitated and she wrote, yeah, we were told not to put you guys in at all. And then I went effing nuts. At least acknowledge that we were part of this man's career for so long. No, they wouldn't. And
yeah, I'm not sure what we did. Why? I mean, you can fire whoever you want. Sure. Obviously, we got fired. But I'm not sure
what we did.
We did.
Well, we helped win them 4 Emmys. Oh, yeah. We were number one morning show for many years. Uh-huh. And then I think they were paranoid about KTLA. You know, it's ebbs and flows and peaks and valleys. And they were hot for a while. Then we were hot. And then I think they were coming.
You were always hot.
They were coming on the upswing again. And I think they were panicking. And I've always heard it was Dennis Swanson that mandated. It was from New York, that it was a New York thing. Did you ever hear that?
Yes.
Okay. So
I don't know about Dennis, but that it came from New York.
That's what I heard. It came from New York. And that after they found out that, you know, the ratings had dropped significantly. I remember my agent at the time saying, well, it must give you guys solace to know that the ratings have dropped significantly since you guys left. And I remember thinking, I don't care. Like, I'm not there anymore. And it's upsetting to me. I helped organize this party and I don't care what the ratings are. I just don't want to, I want to be there still. And then it took me about a year to say, good, I'm glad, because they treated us really unceremoniously at the end. It was not nice. And it was a scar, and it still is. When you say a scab, I still feel it. And I get you. You're beyond that. You're a better person, I think. But I'll see things on Twitter and I'll be like, rawr! Like yesterday. Oh, Twitter said, people you should follow, Good Day LA. And I said,
oh, I get that all the time.
Yeah. And I said, let me just tell you this, Twitter. Okay. I told Good Day LA 5 years ago, you know, guys, we should really start getting big on social media because Twitter's a big deal. And they literally laughed at me in that meeting. And I said, so please stop telling me to follow them. For you, was it hard when
you're
you
like, I started them,
I started you on this nutball journey. Did you ever feel in those meetings that we had towards the end when they were rotating girls? I remember sitting across.
Well, no, I was gone when they were. That was my seat they were rotating.
When I would be off, they weren't putting different people in?
When you were on vacation.
Oh, because I was told that the girls that were sitting in for you, they were told that they were going to replace me. And I've had two girls tell me that. Yeah. Leanne Tweeden and Lauren Sanchez both said, we were told that it was to replace you. And I was like, dang. Actually, Leanne was told after the fact. She thought it was to replace you. And then they were told it was for me. And I think that, you know, it made for a very awkward environment over there.
Lord of the Flies.
It was
a little Hunger Games-ish.
It was, yes. That's a great way of putting it. And I don't like that. I just feel like it's a tough enough business as it is. And why put people? Now I'm looking at the Matt Lauer ratings and they're big without Matt. And I feel like we don't need, and I'm not trying to man bash at all, but women aren't being accused of any of this. Women are the ones drinking their coffee in the morning. We don't necessarily need a guy to guide us. It's all good. We could probably do it on our own.
A friend said to me recently, I want to talk to you about this all-women's network. And I said, they're all going to be all-women's network soon. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
They haven't molested anyone yet.
Exactly. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So now we are going on, what, 4.5 years after?
Yeah, at least.
Is that what this is? And where are you now in your journey, Dorothy? Where are you in life?
I'm still doing a lot of charity work. I always laugh when people say work. It's not work. A, I don't get paid for it. And B, I love it.
You love it.
It's not work. I'm writing. I'm teaching. freaking college professor. That in itself is frightening.
Wait. You're a college professor.
I taught a class at Pepperdine last semester. Perhaps I shouldn't say I am a college professor.
But wait a minute. Was it in journalism?
Yes. How funny is that?
Do people ever ask you, like, when, you know, they know who you are from the morning show, do they have questions about it or anything? Or is it more of a...
Oh, no. People ask me every day still why. And I'm like,
oh my gosh, I don't really know.
Stevie's going to be jealous that you and I are together today. I don't know how he's going to deal with this.
He would love to be here so much.
Yeah.
Do you remember we did the Martin Luther King Day Parade a couple of years ago?
Do I remember? Yes. Do you know that that was probably 10 years ago?
I say a couple of years ago.
It's like my son saying, Mom, you say everything's up the street. Everything's 15 minutes away. I'm like, yeah, it's L.A. You have to say that.
It's like kids will never understand 2 minutes because parents always say 2 minutes, 2 minutes. And it's an hour and a half.
More coming up with Dorothy Lucy, who joins us in studio on this Martin Luther King Day. This is The Drive Home on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we continue on The Drive Home. 800-222-5222 is the telephone number, 1-800-222-KABC.
We should be taking calls, actually, because I think people, for me, they vent on Twitter, and I'll answer here and there. But I think when you and I started talking again openly on Twitter after everything would happen with Steve, it really helped people understand, and I think it brought them a little closure. I really do, after all these years.
There's some sort of chemistry that we had that
I don't know, love, hate, all of the above. It took me so long to get it. And I think it's because I started watching other shows and going, oh my gosh, this isn't fun. This isn't
some
real.
Reason, it was always there with us. It was like turning on a light switch.
Absolutely.
It was like we walked in, it was there.
It was there.
Yeah.
And people say, did you prepare? Did you have to?
Oh God, never.
God, no. It was so easy. And you take that for granted, I think, when it's gone. You're kind of like, oh my gosh, it was so great. So you were always doing Mending Kids. When we were on the show together, you had started with this organization that basically, tell us what it does, and you're still involved with it, and what people maybe can do if they want to contribute.
Hey, if anybody wants to contribute money, because I'm not working right now, so I'm contributing my time, not money. I sort of describe it as Doctors Without Borders, but for kids. You know, we go around the world, and including here in the United States and here in L.A., and just do surgeries on kids who could never, ever, ever have these life-saving surgeries.
So life-saving.
Oh yeah, all sorts of doctors. We do cardiac surgery. We do just everything but brain surgery. That we do not do.
But you go with the doctors, and do you stay with the families and talk to the moms and dads while their children are having these surgeries?
Yeah. Or sometimes when you're in Africa, are you allowed to say ship?
We say hole
here.
We say hole.
Yeah. Often the parents have to work, so the kids are alone in the hospital.
Oh wow. Oh my gosh.
So they really need somebody to hold their hand,
and that's what you do.
And give lollipops.
That's awesome.
Tell stupid jokes that they don't understand anyway because they don't speak English. But you know, that is my contribution.
That's big.
What countries have you been to?
I've been to Ethiopia a couple of times. I've been to Cambodia, Panama, El Salvador.
Jeez.
Peru. I took my son on a mini kid
really?
Trip to Peru.
How old was he at the time?
17.
Oh my God. That must...
And he's minoring in Spanish in college, so he's excellent in Spanish. And,
really?
And so he was so great with the doctors and the families.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was a translator.
Yeah. That's so cool. I remember when Dorothy came in, I'll never forget this. She's so little. And she comes on the set one day, and I was like, she got a pooch. What's up with that? Dorothy's never had a pooch.
Well, no, I always have kind of.
No.
There it is.
No. And I said, oh, it was over Thanksgiving. She probably had a few... You know,
turkeys.
And then she shows her sonogram on the air. And I was like, what the hell is that? I never even understood it. And Steve's like, oh my God, she's having it. Steve used to go through co-hosts. Like, how many babies has he been through with all of, but
I was retaining so much water. I don't know how you guys couldn't tell.
No, always because you're always tiny and you always have those legs and there's no, I just never, but I remember thinking, oh my gosh, she's pregnant. Like, this was a big deal because none of us had, Steve had already been through it. But do you ever look back and I always think, gosh, I went through like 2 weddings, 2 divorces, a birth family, 2 babies with Steve. There's a lot to be said about that.
There's a lot of life that we lived.
Yes. I'll never forget one day I said to Dorothy, I'll never forget you and Steve looking at me like I was from Mars, which happened a few times, but this time was my favorite. I said about marriage, well, everything has a shelf life.
I always remember that. And you
she
know
looked
what?
At me and said, what?
And you know what? As so typical of so many things Jill has said to me over the years, I thought, this girl is effing crazy. And then later I realized she was right.
Especially in California.
I didn't realize I was talking about us eventually at that
shelf life.
I just remember you looking at me like, what the hell is this girl talking about? And Steve looking at you, and I thought, am I weird? I think everything has a shelf life.
And but now you're so obsessed with politics, and you're obsessed with your kids, and all I do is talk about my dog. So we are now in total role reversal.
Total role reversal, because Dorothy's life used to be Harvey Levin, like her gang of fabulous gay men, and going out and having her husband, and then she got pregnant and had her child, and everything became her child.
Now I'm back to the gay guys.
And I was like, oh my gosh, when you have kids, you talk, and then I had kids. And I get it, and I became you. And so you start to realize, like, you appreciate, and you go through, and it makes me so happy that we're able to come and you're here today. And this is the kickoff of our tour together. We will be traveling around the country.
Reunion tour.
Dallas
reunion.
Is the next stop.
Yeah. And we will do it next time with Steve. I think
we should, because he's going to be pouting over this.
I know.
He's going to sulk.
More coming up in minutes with Dorothy Lucy. Don't go anywhere. 790 KABC. And we continue on the drive home. Dorothy Lucy, thanks so much for joining us in studio on this holiday.
So much fun hanging out with you guys.
You're so great.
I miss my Jill girl.
I know. I miss you too. And I always think, do you ever wake up and have coffee and say, gosh, we used to be in the makeup chair at this time, or Patty would be doing our hair, Robin would be doing your makeup.
Yes, and I still have all those same opinions, only nobody listens now. I don't know if anybody listened then, but now nobody listens.
It's so strange. It's such a big part of your life, but you move on, you move forward, and bigger things happen, and we're so happy that you came in. I'm so lucky to have you
here. And look at this guy. You traded Steve in for a much younger model.
Do you know he had dinner with Steve the other night?
I did.
So he keeps me updated, too. Like, I text with Steve, and you see him. So hopefully next time we talk, it'll be with Steve. It would be nice to have him in the flesh.
He's trying to get us together for a lunch.
Yeah.
But then I think he remembered the last time the three of us had lunch. I don't think
he was touchy-feely.
And you did not. You can't make that joke anymore.
I know, that's right. I'm kidding.
You and I, for some reason, didn't speak for 5 years after that lunch. And I cannot for the life of me remember why.
I don't recall. Did it have something to do with Neil Diamond? Wasn't he sitting behind us? Do
Maybe
you think
it was
he drove?
Chicken salad.
Did he drove a, drive a
that
wedge?
That time we stalked Neil Diamond at the restaurant.
All right. Dorothy Lucy, thanks so much for stopping by.
So
we'll talk to you again soon. 790 KABC.
Alexa's got jokes.
What is a pirate's favorite animal?
Arg.
Varks.
Luckily, she also has skills. And KABC is one of them. Just say,
Alexa, enable the KABC AM skills.
Okay. Here's KABC, Los Angeles, Orange County, a cumulus station.